This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Vision 2023 back in the Remarkable Results Radio podcast studio. Honored to have Carolyn Coquelette here.
Honored to be with you, as always.
Thank you, always. I don't know how many titles you have now. Maybe you have secured a new one, Luscious Garage, San Francisco. We had you on in the way early days to tell us about this incredible brand you built and the hybrid repair for all the Priuses. And I remember that incredible story. Of course, we got to have a shop management system. So let's start Shopware and be the CEO of Shopware. And now you're here because Shopware has evolved to the point where now you have a really cool app. Then we're going to do another episode on that. But Luscious Garage is evolving.
You know, it's no secret we're facing a technician shortage, and NAPA Auto Care is addressing that. The free 2-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with 3 ASE certifications. Learn more. Members can visit member.napaautocare.com.
I love this story about rebranding your business and moving it because there are some people in our industry that may be in the position of wanting to rebrand themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great story.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us the name of the new business.
Earthling Automotive.
It's off the charts. Cool.
Thank you.
When I heard you talk about this, I think ASTE, you may have, did you mention it back then?
Probably.
You were working on it.
It's been going on for a while.
I sat in a seminar that you were doing on hybrid EV opportunities. And if it wasn't in public, it was afterwards, we were chatting, Earthling Automotive. And I said, if I know Carolyn, she had to go out and get a committee and hire some people to help her figure it out. Tell us the story.
Oh, well, sure. So, you know, it starts with the story of Luscious Garage, which of course is a very unusual name, and you probably read the article that I posted on LinkedIn, but the name Luscious was fun, seemed like a great idea, but in hindsight, I've tried to avoid making that mistake again. So when we had the opportunity to look at starting a software company, we picked a very straightforward name like Shopware. Didn't need to be overly cute.
No mistake.
I mean, there's a dash in the name, and there's another Shopware that we later discovered it didn't exist at the time that we created it. So, and now there's like a bunch of other software companies with Shop Whatever in their name.
Sure,
so, you know.
Sure, sure. I know.
But nonetheless, as we were looking at going towards electric cars, it was like, all right, maybe this is finally our opportunity to sort of move forward in all the ways and sort of acknowledge the learnings that we've had from early days. I mean, folks who own repair shops, unless they bought an existing shop, remember what it was like when you kind of, you know, birthed this thing out of nothing. You know, you create, you go from zero to one. And those early times are very different from the business that you're probably running today. And there's a lot of learnings that happen in that journey. And so one of those was saying, okay, we want to do something special. We want to do something cool, but let's really take the time. Let's put in the effort to sort of decide how we want to rethink this and what is this thing about. And it took a really long time. We had like a long list of names on a spreadsheet that was circulated to, I don't know, like 50 plus people at sort of the end. We had a lot of people chiming in on it. There were a lot of sort of math related things like Helix, like Evolve.
By the way, I like Helix.
Yeah, Helix wasn't bad. That's probably like the second place.
Okay.
I also was into the name Reveal for a while. I thought Reveal would be really cool.
Electric car.
But then I thought Reveal might have the same problem that Luscious Garage has, you know?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Stop it.
Right,
don't go there.
But see, I didn't make that mistake. It's like, nope, this is still wrong.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm hearing you say that.
So nonetheless, we did the work, and I had hired a company to help with this, not just with the naming process, but also sort of the overarching brand and logo and so on. So just the creative sort of package here. Those folks originally, when I first engaged them, they said, we think Luscious Garage is the best name. You know, it's unique. It's clever. You have great SEO. Why would you, you know, disconnect yourself from that? Got a great reputation online. And I said, you're not working hard enough. If you put the suits paces and you come back to me and you give me some other alternatives and we still think that Luscious Garage is the best name, then I'll accept that. But you need to give me some viable alternatives. Don't just tell me that my idea from 16 years ago was the best. Well, at this point, it was probably 15, but whatever. And so they did. And so when they finally came back with their own list, it was maybe like 20 different ideas. And Earthling was probably like 14. on the list, but it just jumped out on the page. You just saw the word. It was so delightful. It was so unexpected. And yet it instantly encapsulated so many interrelated things of what we're doing here, like the sense of progress, the sense of innovation, the humanity, the, you know, environmental component. There were just so many things that were just built into that word. And it was also like delighting and approachable and like sweet. And by the way, more easily spelled and like kind of like unclaimed. You can go out in the internet and there's a couple Earthling things out there, but largely you search Earthling Automotive and there's nothing. There's no one operating kind of in that concept inside of our space. So it was great. It was just like, you know what, this is what we need to do. So we kind of passed it around a little bit and thought about it for a minute. And then it was like, did a trademark search. And then when all that came back, the URL was available. It was like, we're going to go.
In your gut, when you saw that, did you get really warm to it right away?
Oh, yeah. It was like, we did it.
I love you were saying environmental, delightful. I mean, you got all these adjectives that explained what the brand means. When I first heard you say the words Earthling, the only thing I could think of was E.T. Right off the top of my head, it was E.T.
Mm-hmm. Phone home?
Yeah.
Or text home?
Yeah, text. Oh, my God.
Or do a URL share or something, you know?
So interesting. So, new logo, new building.
It's not too far away. It's about 4 miles. It's the next highway exit down in San Francisco. It's a different neighborhood than what we're in, outside of sort of the radius of congestion. So that's helpful for people. So I think it's actually going to be easier to get to for many hours of the day, which is one of the problems with San Francisco is that it's obviously it's a big city. There's a lot of people there. Traffic happens in California for sure. And so while it may be convenient if you're working around the corner from the shop, for a lot of people in San Francisco, it's still inconvenient, even if we're in the same city. So being in a neighborhood that's just easier to access via highway and less traffic is, I think, an advantage.
When anyone thinks of moving, forget the rebranding. But then I'm going to move to another location 4 miles down the road.
Yeah.
Are my customers going to come with me?
We've had some people email. We've been, you know, doing this whole marketing campaign content calendar to notify our folks about what's happening.
When's the move really going to take place?
We're in the current building. We opened February 1st and we started sort of redirecting our customers. And so we've got like a 2-month transitional period. Then we're going to close Luscious. There will be no more auto repair as of April 3rd. So like March 31st is our last day in that building. But we're going to stay in that building for training, which is, you know, ideal because I've collected a lot of junk. You know, when you own a business for however many years, you collect a lot of stuff. And all that stuff belongs to me, by God.
And you don't want to move
and
it
And I
right
don't
now.
Want to have to move it right now. So that's good. It can just sit there.
But I love the training idea. I mean, are you going to open up a training center?
Mm-hmm. So we've hired Jack Rosebro, who you may know. He's a well-known hybrid and electric trainer. He more recently was working at Toyota North America and their San Ramon campus, teaching dealership tech. So he kind of went into the Death Star, he likes to joke. You know, he kind of, you know, left the aftermarket and went to the evil dealer side for 4+ years. And then, you know, he and I have been friends for a really long time. So we've been in touch about this. And he was thinking about what opportunities there may be to kind of take that learning and come back to the aftermarket. And so he's going to lead that side. Absolutely delighted that he's taken the leap. And then we have another gentleman, Lair Tezada, who is previously from Toyota. He was doing Toyota Racing Development. He's also with Honda as an engineer prior to that. So OE, but then he ended up working at Tesla, and he actually reported to Elon Musk for a period of time, setting up their dealerships when they were first rolling out the Roadsters. So he was involved with Tesla in early days, went from Tesla to Lyft. During his stay at Lyft, he was part of the shopware implementation at their driver centers. So Lyft opened 24 locations nationwide, and they have been running shopware. COVID really kind of dealt a blow to Lyft. So they ended up sort of ramping down that initial project and then have since decided that they need to close those stores. And that's actually the location that we're now taking over in San Francisco is the store that they set up and that Lairta originally designed.
Where Earthling is going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
cool.
So it's this kind of kismet, small world sort of amazing thing. But nonetheless, I was talking to Lairta because I met him through that relationship and knew that he had moved on. He and I were talking about wanting to start this new business and Would he come and help me run it? And so he was sort of helping me with some of the real estate search and so forth. And then this building came up that he had been involved with personally and was just like, oh my gosh, what are the chances? So he's now left his previous place of employment and is now our COO at Earthling and is setting up this new store. And he'll be, you know, the captain of the ship to help us to grow it both across the service side and the training side.
It sounds like Saturn, Mars, and Venus.
All lined up.
We're all in line.
Yes, no. Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what a story.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think it's luck either. I think you played your cards well. You know enough people.
Yeah. I mean, you develop a career and you have an opportunity to meet different fantastic folks. And, you know, this is why, you know, you just try to have good relationships and always act with integrity, no matter who you deal with, so that if and when there's an opportunity to work with them again, you're already in a good spot.
A very powerful statement.
You know, as cars become more advanced, manufacturers are getting sole access to important vehicle data, while independent repair shops and vehicle owners are increasingly locked out from accessing vital repair data. But who owns the data? The vehicle owner or the manufacturer? When it comes to vehicle repair, the fight to secure data access for vehicle owners and their chosen independent repair facilities continues. U.S. Representative Bobby L. Rush introduced the Right to Equitable and Professional Auto Industry Repair, acronym REPAIR, R-E-P-A-I-R, Act to the U.S. House on February 3, 2022. The bill is aimed at giving small independent repair shops the same kind of data access that licensed vehicle dealerships already receive. Americans should not be forced to bring their cars to more costly and inconvenient dealerships for repairs when independent auto repair shops are often cheaper and far more accessible, said Rep. Rush. But as cars become more advanced, manufacturers are getting sole access to important vehicle data, while independent repair shops are increasingly locked out. The Right to Repair legislation should protect a pro-consumer and competitive motor vehicle repair market, provide independent repair shops with the rights to critical information, tools, and equipment needed to repair modern cars and trucks. The Right to Repair legislation should task the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration with developing cybersecurity standards and guidelines to protect vehicle data and systems when repair and maintenance data is accessed by vehicle owners. Please join the fight and help support Right to Repair by completing the form at www.autoadvocacy.org/NAPA, which sends a letter to your member of Congress today. Right to Repair legislation protects your access to vehicle data and scan tools. This is critically important for the automotive heavy-duty paint and body industries. AutoCareAdvocacy.org/NAPA.
What are you going to do different at Earthling than you're doing at Luscious?
Initially, it's going to be largely the same cars, right? We've got existing customers. We know how to fix those cars. We're very good on those cars, and that's great. And that actually will allow us to sort of incubate early EV learning. So both in terms of, you know, yes, we're going to be doing training, but we also need to get the cars in and learn on the cars, see how they break, fix them, learn about the customers, et cetera. We've been doing some of that already. I think you know that I hired someone out of Tesla who's been kind of on the road with me doing these Earthling presentations, Darren Denish.
Oh, Darren Denish. Okay.
Yeah. So he has helped me articulate some of sort of the common failures and diagnostic protocols and other kinds of things kind of at the front of the classroom.
You're basically telling the shop owner, please don't be afraid of this thing. There's some great opportunities for you.
That's right.
Open your heart to your Tesla customer, because you can't ignore the fact that this vehicle needs to have service.
Well, they all need service. I mean, even when Prius first came out, people thought, you know, they were never going to break. Even the customers, I was recalling this last night, that the customers would be like angry that like the car needed something. And it's like, it's a machine.
Oh, God, yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what they're sold, of course. You know, hey, buy this car, it's going to need nothing, ever.
Yeah, I know, ever.
Surprise, surprise, the check engine light comes on. So the Tesla environment, what's interesting about Tesla is that, first of all, obviously, it's an aging population of cars, which is great. That's why it's the right time to start focusing on them. Additionally, you know, Tesla's really struggling to maintain that population of cars within their own infrastructure. And so they've started offering the parts and the service information and the scan tools to the aftermarket, understanding that their customers are really getting frustrated trying to keep their cars on the road. And obviously, one of the things that makes a car attractive to purchase is that it's not painful to own. It's easy to keep in service, right? That's Toyota's playbook. So nonetheless, Tesla has started to cooperate. And also, customers are looking for dealership alternatives, right? They need to get their car fixed faster.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been able to attract talent outside of Tesla, right? So Lerta has left, Darren has left. Other folks that are kind of inside of our network are interested in what we're going to be doing, and we can recruit talent. So it's kind of like the reverse of what Tesla originally did. You know, Tesla originally dangled these sort of $150,000 salary jobs in front of the best technicians and took them out of a bunch of different shops, dealership and otherwise. And now those folks are kind of saying, this is getting a little boring. It's getting kind of long in the tooth. What's the next big thing? Where do I want to go from here? And we want to be that place. We want to be that thought leader, that exciting sort of innovator that can attract those people to their next job.
No doubt Earthling can, and your training center can. And I want our listener to think, well, here I am in Detroit, and I love what Carolyn is saying, but there's no opportunity for me.
Sure.
The answer is no, that's not true.
Honestly, like we used to say that there weren't a lot of hybrids in Michigan or Detroit or whatever. I mean, there are. Maybe not as many as the other cars. And so you have to decide what car you're going to work on anyway, right? It's what's appropriate for your business. But honestly, if you look in most markets, there's a lot of Tesla showing up.
Yeah.
It's not just Tesla either. You know, you see a ton of the different makes and models, and it's like kind of, it's remarkable. It's way more accelerative than hybrids were initially. I mean, we're seeing a real sea change here. And the commitments that the automakers themselves are making, obviously we're seeing regulation. We're actually seeing the commitments from the automakers outpacing the regulatory commitments. So it's kind of the market is doing this on its own.
We all know it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen in the timeline that the rest of the world is telling us.
Yeah. It's interesting looking at the car park versus the vehicles sold. So even though we're starting to approach, I think it's 10%. Almost 10%, and it gets up to like 18%.
Well, you're out in California, it's probably 10.
Well, no, U.S. still.
Is it? Okay.
It's more so, if you look globally, there's greater EV sales. But nonetheless, it's still, you know, a small minority of the total cars sold. And that makes an even smaller impact on the cars on the road, right? But when you look out in 2030, 2035, that's when you start to see kind of the larger components. But nonetheless, when you look at the time between now and, let's say, 2035, the thing that keeps up or is very similar in growth is the hybrid space. So really, you can think of the hybrid and EV work as being very similar. It's just a matter of like, are you going to diversify to be able to serve, you know, this kind of technology in your business, sort of regardless of what make you're working on.
Let's talk about your year as ASCCA president.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's over, right?
It's over.
You did a great.
I'm now the past president.
You're the past president. Uh-huh. It's always good to be the past president.
Yes, it's nice.
Less stress now.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, we have a great current president, Lee Chesnin. He's doing a fabulous job. You know, it's a ton of learnings, a lot of learnings. As someone who is, you know, typically leading a team of people that are working for you, you know, for money, it really challenges your leadership skills to activate and inspire folks that are working as volunteers and understanding those dynamics and collaborating and figuring out what is motivating to folks. What are those incentives? It's interesting. I was learning at Women in Auto Care the difference between how you're internally motivated and how you're externally motivated. And those are two different things. And it's interesting to sort of think about, like, you know, what are you individually passionate about that, like, you know, gives you satisfaction from inside, but also like what validation or other kinds of external factors, you know, might also be playing on you. But largely, the people who are involved with ASCCA are very passionate about the association and about California and what it takes to do business in California. Understanding the good work. And honestly, I've got to call out all the amazing corporate partners that we have as well. We get a lot of industry support. It's just tremendous that people, not only the individual shop owners inside of California recognizing how important the work is, but also the vendor space understanding how important that work is.
Absolutely. It's a great organization. I happen to be a member. And I know there's so many damn laws there. I mean, I kind of joke with my friends out there in California. Says, is there a new law today that's going to make it even harder for you to do business tomorrow?
Right.
And I have a show planned to try to talk about some of these new California laws of recent that I wanted to share with the rest of the country, because sometimes as California goes, so does the rest, so does the rest of the world. So look, thank you for sharing the great story on Earthling, the rebranding of this, all the great success that you've had, the people you're hiring, the reuse of the building as a hybrid EV training center.
Thank you.
Wow. Is there anything like that on the West Coast?
Skyline Community College is in our area,
sure,
San Bruno,
sure.
And they are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they have different alternative fuels courses and so on and so forth. So, you know, we didn't invent this. We didn't invent the internet, okay?
No. Yeah, yeah.
But Jack in particular, he's very much a disciple of the best education or the best learning is learning how to teach yourself. And that's ultimately what we are. That's what we do. That's what technicians do every single day is figuring out something they've never seen before. Being able to wield all the various and sundry technical resources to be able to make that happen. Our goal with the training is, yes, we'll be doing some additional sort of supportive content and so on, but it really is 4 cars, 4 students, 3-day courses, hands-on, demystifying, and also tapping into that intellectual muscle that is required to, you know, face a thing that you've never seen before, you haven't figured out before, and being able to do that with the resources that are specific to hybrids and EVs. So, you know, being able to know what to do and then how to find the answers.
So a confidence builder, you're probably going to have, you know, introduction and then different level
our courses. So it's earthlingauto.com/training. And our initial curriculum is up there. So there's a electrical 1 and electrical 2,
perfect,
which is, hey, guess what? We're not even talking about hybrids and EVs. We're talking about electricity, which is what a lot of technicians need, you know, either a refresher on or honestly never really got. That's sort of core. And we do have assessments that students can take to know where they are in that journey, to know which course they should start with.
Even better.
And then there is hybrid and electric 1 and 2, which are kind of like a not necessarily EV specific, but sort of understanding that those principles that you're learning on the hybrid are also sort of those high voltage components that are relevant to EVs. And then finally, Tesla 1. So there's 5 courses currently drafted, and we'll be offering those courses beginning. We have initial Tesla 1 course this month in March we're offering, and then the hybrid and EV courses will begin next month in April when we close the shop.
Where do you find the time to do all this?
Oh, I'm not doing it as much.
Well, I know you're delegating. I get
other
all
people.
Of that.
I mean, again, time management is everything. So figuring out how you need to spend your time and where you need to focus. And then, you know, you work the problem, right? If you're spending time on something that you have decided that you shouldn't be doing or you can't do anymore because you need to do something else, then you figure out how to make sure those needs are met some other way. And I'm blessed not only to have an amazing team at Luscious that I'm fortunate to be able to take with me to the next business, but additionally, you know, the team that we've built at Shopware is best in class. And so those folks are making it possible for me to be able to continue to innovate in my own repair shop. The repair business is still a part-time. You know, I'm probably working maybe 10 hours a week on that, and I'm probably spending 40 plus hours a week on Shopware. So it's still like definitely my focus, and I want to make sure that all the folks that are depending on Shopware know that it's still very much a center of my focus.
You just told them.
I just told them.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thanks for the opportunity, Carm.
Yeah, it was great. We're here at Vision 2023, sponsored by Napa Auto Care, speaking with Carolyn Coquelette from Earthling Automotive, formerly Luscious Garage,
that's
and
right.
Of course CEO.
The artist formerly known as the Garage, formerly
that.
Known as Luscious.
That's funny. I love that.
And of but course, hopefully that'll stop being said and we'll just forget all about it and we'll just remember Earth.
I will never be able to take that out of my memory. And CEO of Shopware, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.